following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 102 for Saturday, July 30th, 2011. In the can. Woohoo! Here we are, finally.
Oh, my Lord. About time.
About time you got ready for this. I've been waiting for 3 hours.
More like 3 days.
Oh, yeah. That's true, too. We, of course, we're going to do this on our regular Wednesday night, and our internet is giving us some trouble, so we decided, since we haven't figured out what the trouble is yet, we'll just go ahead and do it and hope it uploads.
Yes, this is Rodney and Aaron again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to give our names. That's right.
Yeah, we got to get into the habit of that. You know, people complain that they don't know who we are, which is probably a good thing, because then we can reduce the hate mail.
That's true.
But, yeah, we're having some internet issues. It seems like it's more of an internal network issue.
And we're just having
It's kind of
trouble.
A bizarre thing, because you can have a stream going and web pages.
Audio stream.
An audio stream or video stream of some sort going. And then when the internet will just drop out and you can't get to web pages or anything, but the video or audio stream will just keep right on going.
That is the most bizarrest thing.
You know, and so right now we're trying to work our way through some of the cables and replace cables and see whether it's the actual modem or whether it's the year-old router, which I hope to heck it's not that.
Oh, God.
Because then that would be a pain in the butt to have to purchase something new. That is our tales of woe and troubleshooting that we've tried to do for Wednesday night.
Yeah,
and
it started Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. Thursday night, you were doing the Sarah Talk Tech Chat 111.
Yes, with Ricky Enger and Lisa Salinger. Yay! That was a ton of fun. We thought that we were going to have to plug me into the modem, and then we realized that we were having mixer trouble, so I ended up using my crappy, expensive USB headset.
Yeah, a little configuration issue here and there.
So, you know, we just...
But if you like books, they talked about books for like 30 minutes, it seemed.
Not quite 30 minutes. It was more like 15.
Yeah,
okay, well, we were trying to cover the whole month in Access Tech, and we did spend a little bit too much time on books.
Yeah. Blio Reader. That was the fault of the whole thing.
We talked about Blio Reader and how much of a disappointment everyone mostly thought it was. Most everyone. And that, of course, got us into the Bookshare app that came out. And a site with bunches of free audiobooks and, bookpocalypse.
Yeah.
So, but it was fun. It was great fun.
I won't try to say.
Bookpocalypse?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to try to spell it, actually. Paco lips. Yeah, okay. So anyway, you can get that by going to sarotech.com or sarotalk.com, and it is the latest tech chat. And of course, you can subscribe to the sarotalk.com podcast feed.
Or check it out on Samnet Radio.
Exactly. Or iBlink Radio even.
Yes.
Has a link to it. So anyway, now that we've covered that, thank you, Sarah Talk, for allowing me to be on it, and I hope we can be on future podcasts. That would be awesome.
Yes.
Now, one thing from our last podcast that we need to correct. Somehow, I'm not quite sure why I said it, but I made a talk error. We were talking about the National Federation for the Blind, the NFB convention, towards the beginning of the month, and the resolutions that were passed and were not passed. And I made the incorrect statement that the resolution that said that the NFB condemned and deplored Apple was passed. It actually was not.
Yeah, and it was kind of hard to catch because it was just
a tiny little thing and
missed it in post-production.
Missed that. So I apologize. The word not did not get put into my sentence, and it was just a mistake. So
yes, and who were the two that...
Justin Eckes and Yodel Sotomayor.
Yes.
So... So thank you for correcting us on that.
Yeah, and evidently nobody listened to that podcast.
Evidently not. Evidently two people. Only two people listened. How disappointing is this?
I mean, sometimes we try to make errors just to see if anybody catches it, and
we do?
Not really.
I didn't think so. Just checking.
You know, but did see a few comments on Twitter as far as saying that the NFB wasn't really hurting their relationship with Apple by saying something like that because the resolution wasn't passed and
right.
most likely the Apple would never hear about it. But, I mean, if it's publicized,
yeah.
you know, or if somebody was to actually send it to them, you know.
Well, I mean, quite frankly, the resolution, well, I won't go there. I'll stop.
Yeah, I Googled the resolution, and mm-hmm. they did us the exact same wording in another resolution not too long ago, but I can't remember what the actual company was that they were going against.
I don't know.
Condemned and deplored. You know.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's move along.
Why, yes, let's move right
let's
on
get
along.
Let's get to stories for this week's podcast.
All righty.
Facebook made a boo-boo.
Yeah, go figure. This is one of those, really? Facebook this week had an issue or glitch, as some people called it, involving their private videos that you could post on your site and share with only specific people. Well, evidently, if people were your friends, they could actually be able to see your private drunken videos that you may have put up or, you know, your
yeah.
inappropriate things, which a lot of people were worried about because, well, grandma might have saw that or little Billy, your 9-year-old cousin or something, you know, or prospective boss.
Yeah, and this only applied to videos that you wanted to designate, you know, to certain people, certain of your friends to see. And so if you tagged videos, you know, for certain friends only, it didn't matter. All your friends were going to see it. It didn't open it up to everyone in the whole Facebook community, but still, you tagged it for a certain number of your friends, but all your friends are going to be able to see this.
Yeah, and it's not clear whether that was just an update that Facebook did and accidentally exposed it or whether it's been that way for a while. No one really knows
exactly.
Yeah,
I don't know. Sort of like the iOS update.
Yeah, but with with this issue, a lot of people said, well, it's the thumbnail, because if you put a video up, it grabs a little section of it and puts that one little clip up so that you can see what the video is of. So depending on what you were doing in the video, it could have been a compromising picture.
Depending.
Yeah. Uh-huh. In other Facebook news, they are trying to tackle the facial recognition privacy issues that people are worried about.
Yeah, it was that, you know, you would upload photographs and Facebook would automatically kind of like riffle through your photographs and put up suggestions for Facebook friends based on the faces in the photographs. And now it's, you know, people were very concerned that it was going to be, you know, cataloging all the photos and comparing all the faces, you know, in a big public catalog. And people's, you know, faces were just going to be sort of out there. But now, apparently, it's going about it in a different manner.
Yeah, they're going to actually start putting a warning message up and give you instructions on an easy access to the controls to actually change the behavior of the facial recognition. So that's a good thing, because usually you can't find the crazy setting when
right.
you do want to change it.
And they have apparently started running that ad, so you should see that. And you can actually opt out of facial recognition altogether.
Yeah, and I mean, apparently some people will actually tag people in photos, but it will actually be inanimate objects.
Yeah.
So I wonder how that kind of works. Hey, Joey, why is it
I did not realize you looked like a cabinet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Love so. Those knobs, Becky.
Dear.
Oh, wait, that was probably bad.
That was sort of bad.
I was going on the cabinet idea.
Yeah, I know, but it could definitely be a double entendre there.
Well, you know, hey, it happens.
Yes.
Now, last week, Apple released iOS 4.3.4 and 4.2.9 for the Verizon folks, which I don't see why they just don't bump those up.
I know, I don't understand. Well, anyway, this week, they released 4.3.5
and 4.2.10.
Why did they do this? This has to be the shortest update period in history.
One, I think they're probably trying to show that, hey, look at these Android phones that are still running Android version 2.1. we can push out iOS updates all we want to.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of a neener neener.
Maybe.
But this is a certificate validation issue that was going on with iPhones and iOS devices such as your iPod Touch and iPads, where if you went to a website the website could actually spoof another website certificate. So sort of pretending that it was going to actually be that website. Like you could pretend that you were Amazon and people wouldn't know the difference. Well, most devices and website browsers will actually check for an actual indicator in the certificate to make sure that they are valid and able to use the certificate. Well, apparently iOS devices were not checking that one bit that is supposed to tell you things like that.
It's weird because both of these updates were sort of like security fixes. And one was a jailbreak fix, but it's kind of like that kind of a related issue.
Yeah, which the jailbreak was broken again in a day.
Yeah. So they didn't just put these in one update?
I don't think they really knew and understood the issue. Now, the biggest thing is that it only works on the iPhone 3GS and up, and the iPod Touch 3rd and 4th generations, and the iPads 1 and 2. So if you're using a 3G or original iPhone or an older version of iPod Touch, they are not planning to roll that out.
So the security update.
Yeah, so if you're worried about this issue, you might want to be a little careful or just upgrade. Buy a new device.
You know, jailbreaking is fun and all. You can use all sorts of cool stuff, I guess. But one thing you're not going to be able to have in iOS 5 if you are running a jailbroken device, over-the-air updates.
Yeah, they're actually going to break that.
They are breaking it.
So, but you know what that means?
Yeah, someone's going to come.
Probably come up with an app to do that.
Of course, of course.
Basically, Android users know this issue. They have the same problem when they root and jailbreak. They're not able to get updates automatically. So that's kind of a typical thing for hacking and such, I guess. I will point out that if you are interested in the iOS certificate issue that was updated last week, you can check out the Security Now podcast episode 311 that just came out this week, where they were actually discussing it and going kind of into more detail about that issue.
I can't take that podcast.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad for this because it was kind of a small, simple thing to explain.
Well, OS Lion has emerged.
Well, wait a moment.
Oh.
I was going to mention one quick thing.
Oh.
That iPhone 5 will soon be coming out, and now some people are saying that, hey, it's going to be coming out the week of Labor Day here in the U.S., which is around September 5th or 6th. And apparently a survey done by Price Grabber says that 35% of people will purchase the iPhone sight unseen at this point in time.
Wow.
Their survey also found that 59% want better battery life. 55% are looking for a cost reduction. Yeah, like that's going to happen. 46% want 4G connectivity, if that is even supported by the next iPhone.
Yeah.
And let's see, 45% are also wanting a larger screen, which that's kind of one of the rumors, is maybe it'll be close to a 4-inch screen instead of the 3.5-inch. And 42% would like an improved camera, which currently is rumored to be an 8-megapixel camera.
I got a question. And you, as a squint, would know the answer to this. Does 0.5 inches on a screen really make that much difference?
It can.
Really?
Because you can actually see more real estate at one time. And as the screen enlarges, you know, you can take a 19-inch monitor, like for your computer screen, and if you put the same exact image on a 24-inch screen, the fonts are, like, much larger.
Yeah, but just a half an inch?
It can make a difference.
Okay, if you say so.
So basically, that would make the iPhone, which we don't know if it's going to have a home button or not, it would probably cover that, which I don't think I would really worry too much about losing the home button, because mine sort of sticks occasionally and will not work.
Ooh, really? That's not good.
I don't know whether it's the app that freezes when I'm trying to do something or what.
Yeah, I have had that happen occasionally. I just blame the app rather than the home button. But if they get rid of the home button, I'm sure they will put some kind of gesture or something that you can do in the bottom of the screen to, very simple gesture that you can do to, substitute for that.
Yeah, I think the biggest limitation if they get rid of the home button is going to be the quick and easy turn on, turn off voiceover.
Yeah, for accessibility.
Yeah, so maybe they could do that with the volume buttons or perhaps the on off button, a quick three click of that might do it. I don't know.
Yeah, but other people use the home button too, though.
Yeah, yeah, to go back. But I mean, if it's on the screen.
Yeah, and they'll have to come up with something for rebooting the phone, because that's the home button.
Yeah, that uses the home button as well.
And to pull up that little mini player in the iPod thing.
Yeah, that's the one button. I use all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway.
If you're at the lock screen and you quickly double-click the home button, it will usually bring up the audio player so that you can actually play, pause, and fast-forward your podcast or music that you were listening to.
Without unlocking the phone completely. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a daily tip way back when. You can way find that back on the website. But anyway, on to OS Lion. I hear they're trying to get people to stop saying OS X Lion, so we'll just go with OS Lion.
Yeah.
They've added some text-to-speech voices, 22 of them, I guess.
Yeah, well, no, 22 different languages.
Languages?
Yeah.
Voice inflection, I believe.
No, languages.
Is it languages?
Yes. Yeah. 22 different languages. It's basically, I think it's 22 languages.
The way I was kind of reading it was the fact that it gives Alex sort of the language inflection.
No. This leaves Alex in the dust.
Oh, okay.
What they add, essentially, are voices, you know, for nuance, similar to the ones that are on the iPhone already, except for better quality. And they're in a multitude of different languages. I don't know whether it's 22 or not, but for some reason that number's sticking in my head.
That was in the article, I believe.
And, you know, some masculine and feminine voices. You have to purchase the voices, though. They don't come with the app. So with Lion, you have to buy them individually. Of course, Alex comes with Lion already. But if you want any of these other nuanced voices, you're going to have to purchase them from the app store separately. One precaution to note is that these voices are huge. So if you're downloading them from the app store, they are 350 to 500 megabytes in size. As I said before, they are not included in the original Lion installation. And they may not cost anything. You have to get them from the App Store, but they may not charge you for them. I can't be certain about that. Besides the voices, there have been some other accessibility improvements and or bugs that people using VoiceOver have experienced. One very critical one is, I didn't know this, but in Leopard and Snow Leopard, if you were starting the installation of the software and the... You know, it goes to a point and then it sits there and requests that you do something. If it had been sitting there for a couple minutes and you hadn't done anything, it would assume that you couldn't see it and VoiceOver would start to talk. That apparently does not work in Lion.
Yeah.
So you have to know how to work around that. A few of the key commands don't work correctly, and in order to figure out what those are, I'd have to know how to use Lion. They were talking about them, but it didn't make much in the article I was reading, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me because I'm not familiar with the structure of the software itself. Some people have been reporting some sluggishness with VoiceOver and email. Also, there's no help for VoiceOver in Lion. I haven't been able to determine whether there's no help for Lion, or whether there's no help for VoiceOver within Lion. So I'm not sure whether it's help for everything or just help for using VoiceOver. They have made some different. They have done some different things and called things a couple different names. They now have something in Lion called a Launchpad, and it's kind of like the home screen on an iPhone. I'm not sure how it's different from like a Windows desktop. But to me, I guess you can put some of your key things there that you use a lot. And then, you know, with a couple quick keystrokes or gestures, if you have a trackpad, go and, oh, I said pad. Oh, that was bad. A trackpad, you can go and get to them pretty quickly. There's also something new in Lion called Mission Control. And it's like the system tray or a window list. It basically allows you to switch between applications quicker than you could otherwise, apparently. VoiceOver still does not work correctly with reading PDF files and navigating tables. Those are a couple of key areas that still need improvement. However, there have been a couple new VoiceOver additions. Something called activities, whereby you can set VoiceOver to act certain ways when using certain applications. Hmm. This is something that JAWS and Window Eyes and, you know, the main PC screen readers have, call it different things, but it's sort of like different configurations or VoiceOver settings for whatever program you're using. And depending, I mean, the program loads and the voiceover activity will load. So it's kind of like, you know, a different settings if you want it to be speak slower or faster, for instance, and just some other things. VoiceOver, they've also added more Braille support in terms of more translation tables for different countries and languages. One good thing that they've also added is finally you have a way to drag and drop icons using VoiceOver. And also within web pages and I guess word processing perhaps, I'm not sure about that, but I do know within web pages in Safari, there is also now single key navigation, like to go to headings and different portions of a web page by pressing single characters. Mm-hmm. I don't think that had existed before.
Yeah, and apparently there are some bugs, so if you do run into them, there are methods for posting issues to Apple. I know one is to send an email to accessibility@apple.com. So if you run into issues, let them know.
I found this information in the last Sarah Talk Tech Chat. I believe it was 110.
Yes.
110 that talked about Lion, and they had a very good little discussion, and that's where I found all this information. So if you want Lion, or thinking about Lion, or just are interested in Lion, it'd be worth your while to go to saratalk.com and download that.
In video streaming news, Hulu is going to start authenticating users' account and location as far as which provider they're actually getting their cable and internet service from. On August 15th, they are going to start only allowing Dish Network folks to actually go to the Hulu website and use the free service in order to see next day shows.
So in other words, Bones and all this, let's say you watch an episode of Bones and you have Dish Network. You can go to the website the day after the show is aired and stream it, you know, on Hulu. If you don't have Dish Network, you will have to wait 8 days in order to go to the website and stream Hulu.
And if you pay for Hulu Plus, which is $8 a month, you will actually not be affected by this at all.
Yeah.
So if you thrive on the free service, you're going to have to wait until your Comcast or Time Warner or such are actually authenticated by Hulu and Fox.
And as far as we know, this is only Hulu and Fox. This has not happened with any other networks yet, but other networks are considering this idea.
Yeah, HBO has their HBO To Go, which they authenticate you in order to give you access to their mobile app stuff. CNN is starting to do this, I believe, or are rumored to be doing this. The biggest thing that's confusing to me is why 8 days?
I don't know. Because you're going to be behind two episodes.
Yeah, I mean, if you miss, okay, say you miss yesterday's episode of Bones, you have to wait 8 days. Well, if you want to catch up in order to watch live next week's episode, you can't do it because you're always going to be two episodes behind.
That's because the cable companies want you to watch it on television.
I know, but if you missed it, you can't catch up. You'd go the entire season being two episodes behind because you would never be able to actually be back on track with the live version on your television. So it seems like they really didn't think that part out. All it's going to do is just force people to go probably to BitTorrent or news groups or websites in order to try and pirate this stuff.
Probably.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, and supposedly ABC is contemplating the same type of thing. I have a feeling they're going to wait and see what happens with the Fox maneuver. Yeah. So, yeah, that's going to start August 15th. So, if you're a Dish Network, no problem. Hulu Plus user, no problem. Anything else, you're going to have to wait 8 days. It is just ridiculous to me.
Just wrong.
Now, in other video service news, Walmart is going to actually start putting the Vudu service on their website so that you can stream movies.
Yeah, they acquired Vudu like a long time ago, like over a year ago. And it's a video service, and they're going to integrate it onto the main Walmart website so you can stream, like you just said, videos. What we don't know much more than that. We don't know how much it's going to cost, and we don't know what, you know, kind of a selection they're going to have.
Yeah, the Vudu service, I think, was mostly a box, kind of like a Roku or something that you had to buy, and you had to buy into the service and things like that. So they're going to integrate it into their website. big thing to know is that if anyone is hearing impaired, they do not have closed captioning from what I've seen.
So people who are upset with Netflix for only having a certain percentage of their videos closed captioned will be doubly upset, triply upset with Vudu because they have none at all.
Which Netflix is actually improving.
Yes, they are improving.
Adding more and more closed captioning to their service. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. YouTube is also going to start doing a little bit more closed captioning.
Yes, closed captioning for YouTube videos. You know, the stuff that's done by Google, kind of like, you can put closed captions in yourself, but Google will also try and put them in. And it's been doing this for English videos, but now it will start doing this for Japanese videos.
Which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, English and Japanese. And, you know, they may roll out other languages as well, but these are the only two they've got right now.
Yeah, and it's okay. It's not tremendously accurate. That's why we have the But Cuba from the Leo Laporte and Michael Arrington dispute that they had a couple years ago Leo told him to go F himself or whatever, and Google Translate changed it to But Cuba. So it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
What he said was, screw you, Michael. That's what he said.
Yeah, that's what it was. Screw you. And
you know what, Michael? Screw you. And then he hung up.
And Google Translate turned it to But Cuba.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so that's kind of an NSFW, Brian Brushwood type of little joke going on. So if you're getting irritated at someone, you can say But Cuba.
Okie dokie.
I don't know. It's kind of funny.
The FCC has made a ruling that by the end of the year, or I guess January 2012, providers of video content must have closed captions put into place.
Yeah, and this seems like it would be people that, like Fox News or CNN or major companies that would actually be putting video content on the web. I don't think it would probably impact people like Ustream or podcasters, you know, that are doing things on their own websites because they're not really regulated by the Federal Communications Commission.
Yeah, this only, of course, applies to FCC-controlled entities. And so, but it is something to be aware of. So, you know, whether it's going to happen or not is another story, but they're required to have it all put in place by the end of the year.
Yeah, and they want them to have things like character color controls, opacity of the font on the screen, different fonts, backgrounds, all that kind of stuff. They want it all customizable. Sounds a little bit
far-fetched. Over-ambitious?
Yeah, and it seems like it's more lenient as far as if the content is live as opposed to previously recorded. So if it's a Fox News program, say, and they're replaying something from the day before, there's requirements that it would have to be closed captioned.
Right. And the live programming, not strictly enforced there, I don't think.
Yeah. So that's kind of an interesting thing going on. I don't know how easy and fast it's going to be. The Video Programming Accessibility Advisory Committee also suggested that there be some sort of a standard developed in order to enforce these stipulations.
Yeah, but no word yet on what exactly the standard is.
No, not whatsoever. Now, the Braille Institute has come out with a Vision Sim app for the iPhone.
This allows you to somehow use the camera, and this is primarily for sighted people, and it will allow you to take pictures of things, and it will mimic what people who suffer from various eye disorders see. These disorders include
Macular degeneration,
glaucoma, retinitis pigmentosa, and the diabetes and cataracts.
Yeah. But I downloaded the app just before this, and if you choose one of the options, it will actually sort of use a filter on the screen in order to make it signify what you're actually looking at. Like if you're looking at cataracts, the screen's kind of blurry. You can kind of tell things are going on. If it's glaucoma, you'll have like black areas around what you're actually looking at, you know, and sort of a blurred view right in the middle of the screen. And let's see, that's about it. So they're just sort of giving you the idea that, okay, your vision's going to be blurred or you're going to see through a halo or something like that. So it's kind of nifty if people are trying to figure out how do you see.
Yeah.
But it's designed for someone that actually has good vision and wants to figure out what someone else is seeing. And it is Vision SIM in the App Store,
and it is free.
Yes.
And I believe the app also provides links or buttons that will take you to places on the internet where you can find out information about these different disorders.
Yes, it does. So if you know anybody that's interested in that, please pass that along. Now, in other things, Apple has finally started enforcing the reader apps and in-app purchase changes that they proposed for the end of June.
Yes, they have told Kindle and Kobo and all the other apps of the similar nature that they cannot reference their store in any way in their app. So Amazon has taken out references to the Kindle store in its app, and so have the Kobo people, although they are developing an HTML5 alternative in Safari.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because the Amazon app, I think they would actually be able to leave a button in there to purchase it, but you would have to purchase it through Apple.
Yeah, that's the way it's. Yeah, that's
you
the way
can't.
It's,
you can't actually do like the former Kindle app did and actually link off to Amazon where you would actually purchase it in Safari. The Kobo is actually doing that HTML5 version. They say that they're going to have an updated browser that you can go to in Safari. Browser page that you can go to in Safari, and it will actually have updated features and things that should be pretty nice for users. The only backlash to these changes where you can actually purchase things in app is the fact that if someone is a new iOS or Android iOS user, not Android, but if they're a new user and they go into the app, they can't actually get books. And there's not really a whole lot of information saying that you need to go to the Amazon store. So, say your mother was to get an iOS device.
Oh, and God they forbid. Go to.
I know, I'm not looking forward to that day. Say they go and they hear everybody talking about the Kindle app. Well, they go in and there's not really any instructions based on what the app looks like now as to where do I go get books.
Ooh, Blio app.
Yeah, kind of like that. So what the guy from Blio was saying about that app and what the limitations were doing, that's now come to
Kindle and Kobo.
And Nook.
Yeah.
So they'll probably end up coming out with HTML5 versions of their apps.
Hopefully.
That's what I'm guessing. In other news, Garmin has finally purchased Navigon.
Not a whole lot of details we know about this yet, although the idea, I guess, has been in the works for a while, and executives on both sides seem to be pleased, but there have been no, you know, details about what new and exciting things we can expect out of this merger. Just letting you all know, because I know a lot of people have the Navigon GPS app for the iPhone, and may be interested in the fact that Garmin is purchasing them. Maybe they'll have better maps.
Yeah, and right now, if you are in the market for Navigon, the iOS store has an updated price on things. Like the US version is $29, the North American is $39, and so on. They've got like a summer special going on. So if you're interested, you might want to pick that up. My guess is that Garmin, who tried to do a very unsuccessful app, is looking at Navigon trying to improve. So all it can do, I hope anyway, all it can do is improve Navigon as far as the maps that they're going to have.
That was my thought too.
So hopefully that's a good thing and not a bad thing.
We hope.
Yes. But NVDA 2011.
0.2.
Research candidate. One.
Release candidate. This is basically almost identical to the final 2011.2 version that's going to be coming out. It is, of course, the new incarnation of the NVDA screen reader. And there have been a couple of fixes in the documentation. I guess better documentation, more translations of the software into different languages. Some fixes with the way NVDA interacts with Internet Explorer. And other web browsers, and other minor updates.
Yeah,
it's like, not like a whole new version.
I guess there were some issues with USB connectivity, and there was a freezing problem when you were in the move and copy to boxes on Windows Live. I think that's supposed to be fixed.
And there were some other issues with the Lily Braille display. I never heard of that one before, but apparently they've been having some issues with that, and so now those issues are fixed.
Yeah, so if you're using an older version, you might want to upgrade to this release candidate.
I know I need to upgrade just because my older version has somehow gotten a little flaky. I don't know what happened to it.
Now, in something that could actually be considered what were you thinking, the Microsoft UK Twitter account decided that with the passing of Amy Winehouse at age 27, just like many other rock stars, that they would do sort of a promotion of the Zune Marketplace. They sent out a tweet that said, "Remember Amy Winehouse by downloading the groundbreaking Back to Black over at Zune Marketplace," and provided a link for it. A lot of fans of Amy Winehouse felt that this was greatly insensitive, which kind of it is. Now, some fans had said that, well, if they would have said, hey, it's a reduced price, or it's cheaper, or it's free, you know, it wouldn't have been that big of a thing, but sort of promoting your marketplace.
Yeah,
for
on a death.
I don't know how many people would have a Zune in order to go purchase it anyway.
That's a valid point. I've been wondering the same thing. How many people actually own them or use them?
Yeah, but I guess you can buy it in the marketplace and then put it on other devices or convert it, possibly.
Maybe.
Not sure how all that works. Mm-hmm. In yet another possible, what were you thinking? 19% of people drop their cell phones in a toity.
Yes, and that is probably because 39% of people take their cell phones into the loo with them when they have to use the toity.
Now, your comment was, why? How in the heck would people do that? And a lot of people on Twitter, when I posted that, said this exact same thing. But I have been in restrooms before where people come in and they're still talking on the phone while they go into the restroom.
Ew!
Or you will have some people actually standing at the urinal, if you will, and they'll be checking their mail on their BlackBerry while
urinating, doing
their thing.
Oh, my God. What is it with men? They just feel like they could just stand up and they don't need any privacy. They can just go.
I don't know. But I've heard women say that they've heard people talking on the phone in the restrooms before.
Oh,
too.
I'm sure it's not just a man thing. But,
you know, but I mean, I've known people that have dropped pagers. You know, I worked with a lady that had her pager in her pocket, in her shirt jacket pocket, and been over to flush the toilet. And all
Oopsie.
Of a sudden it fell in and gone with the flush. You know?
Oh, dear.
So there was no retrieving that. We kind of had visions of a pager going under the street going beep, 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 beep. Somebody standing over a manhole cover going, what the heck is that?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
Funny.
But, yeah, it's a common practice. I mean, everybody carries a newspaper, and if you don't have a newspaper, you're most likely going to use your cell phone because, well, most likely it's on your belt or in a purse or pocket or something, and it's automatically going to go with you anyway.
That's true.
So
very true.
The 39% seems low to me.
Maybe. Maybe.
What were you thinking?
Now for our real what were you thinking story.
Now you got to be sitting there going, okay, the previous two were kind of crazy. What in the heck could this be?
Yeah, a Swedish guy in Sweden has gotten the government to agree that his addiction to heavy metal music qualifies him to receive disability benefits.
Yeah, Roger Mulgren, age 42, has evidently been trying to break his habit of listening to heavy metal music for over 10 years.
But he just can't do it. He is so addicted to listening of this music that he has to dress like a heavy metal rocker wherever he goes. He has to attend all the concerts he can, thus he cannot keep a regular work schedule.
If he can't keep a regular work schedule, how in the heck's he pay for all the concerts?
Well, he's got his disability benefits.
And here was the clincher. He wants to be, he likes to be in his heavy metal garb at all times. So he wants to be able to justify the fact that he goes to a job interview dressed in his
heavy metal whatever's
attire with tattoos and earrings and piercings and all that. Apparently, he has lost job opportunities because of his appearance.
I think the scariest thing to me is that he has actually gotten a few psychiatrists to approve and make this diagnosis.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I don't know how you can justify someone having that big of a problem. You know, I mean, granted, I think that when people are listening to the Mushroom FM stream, like Sue Morgan, she's like obsessed with the Carpenters. You know, does she dress like the Carpenters? I don't know how you would actually dress as the Carpenters.
Stuck that in was the my 70s, thought. Maybe. How could you dress as the Carpenters?
You know, stuck in the 70s, you know, with your
platforms and your flares and your whatever. Well, but yeah, but I mean, I don't understand how this could be an addiction. It's music. And it's your choice to be get all your tattoos and get your earrings and get your whatever and wear all the crazy clothes and stuff.
It seems like you'd be able to control yourself.
Yeah, it does. It does.
But I mean, there are addictions, like sexual addictions and things that people do actually suffer from. I mean, I guess, yeah, but it doesn't make any sense.
No, it really doesn't.
I think you just need to trap him into a padded room and only play him country music.
There you go. Country, ooh, even worse, classical music.
No, that would be too much on anybody.
Oh, come on.
That'd be too much on anybody.
Well, I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree on that one.
So, we went from, gee whiz, our three stories. We went from...
Cell phones in the toilet.
Cell phones in the can and Amy Winehouse being remembered improperly and now a guy who can actually have a disability for heavy metal addiction.
Oy. What will the world come to next?
I do not know, but we will bring this wonderful podcast to an end that you have been listening to, Tech Access Weekly, episode
102.
And if you want to check out any of the stories that we discussed or considered for this episode, you can head over to delicious.com/techaccess/102. And as always, comments are welcome. Please correct us and throw in your 2 cents, because it always makes the show a little bit better when we are able to give you credit for listening.
Exactly.
If anybody's actually listening out there.
Yeah.
And we know two are.
We know two. Yay, two. So if you've got ideas about stories, ways in which we could have covered the stories better, let us know. If you've got ideas about tips or tricks we can talk about in our daily tips feed, let us know that too.
And if you ever want to get involved with the podcast, let us know that as well.
Absolutely. We would love to have some people help us with tips and things.
Yes. And if you would like to, you can check out the Melting Pot Show on mushroomfm.com on Sundays from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Get the shameless plug in there.
Yes. Incidentally, the show last week featured artists who died at the height of their musical careers. So if you want to download that, it is not in our archive at the moment. So you can go to mushroomfm.com. And find it on the Melting Pot page, mushroomfm.com/meltingpot.
And we would probably have some more uploaded this week to our archive at techaccessweekly.com, but the internet issues have been concerning.
Quite. So at some point, we will get that updated. But until then, and until the next podcast,
we'll simply go with the bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.